About 3 weeks ago, I was asking the Lord about this morning. Lord, what is on your heart for this morning, for today, for the 29th of April, whatever day it is? And he had me go and look at the scriptures that we've been reading through every day. So for those of you who are following the scripture reading, and day by day, you're reading the scriptures. And so he had me looking at the scriptures from Isaiah and the Psalms that we've been reading this week. And I was just waiting for that moment for God to sit to just highlight to me, that's what I want you to talk about. And so I'm reading through Isaiah, and there's nothing standing out to me. And I go to the Psalms, and I finally get to the Psalm that is our reading for today. Anybody read it yet? One person. Okay, our reading for today is Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the whole Bible, but they only ask us to read the first 32 verses. And I am reading through these verses. And I get to verse 9. And I can't go any further. Psalm 119, verse 9, says, how can a young man or woman keep his way pure? How can a young person keep his way pure? This message I am directing specifically to our youth, but make no mistake, this is a word for young and old alike. I'm going to speak to them because God is busy at work in them right now as they've just come back from camp. And I believe he really wants them to hear this word. But I believe it is a word for us as the people of God, as the body of Christ, just as much. And I think you'll see why as we go through. How can a young person keep his way pure? Do we live in a pure generation? When you turn on the TV, does the word purity stand out to you? When you listen to the news, does the word purity stand out to you? When you look around you at the way your peers are living and where how some of us are living, does the word purity come to mind? As I read this question, how can a young man keep his way pure? The first thing that stood out to me was, who's even asking this question today? Whose heart beats like the psalmist and is crying out, God, how can I keep my life pure? Where are the adults asking this question, let alone the young people? The Hebrew word here for pure is zaka, and it means to be morally pure in God's sight. Who is asking the question, how can I keep my mind pure, God? How can I keep my body pure, God? How can I keep my heart pure in the sight of God? Whose heart is beating with that question? God said to me, people are constantly coming to me with the cries of their hearts. Many of us come to God with the cry of our hearts, whatever that is. Maybe it's a cry for our family member. Maybe it's a cry for healing. Maybe it's a cry for breakthrough. Maybe it's a cry for finances. Maybe it's a cry for friends at school. Maybe it's a cry to for someone to love me. Maybe it's a cry to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. There are all kinds of cries that we bring to God. And the heartbeat of the message today is that there is a heart cry that our Heavenly Father is listening for, that He is ready to answer. He is longing to answer. God is listening for men and women, young and old, to be asking this question. God, will you give me a pure heart? And will you show me how to keep my way pure? We hear King David echo a very similar prayer in Psalm 51. You know what David has just been caught doing? He's just been caught committing adultery and murdering. And he prays this prayer, and in it he says, God, I know I've sinned. Create in me a pure heart. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Where is that heart cry today when God confronts us with our sin? I've sinned. I've lied. I've spoken words. I've cursed. I've cheated on my test. I spoke evil about my friend. I beat my friend up. I've cheated on my taxes. God, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart, oh God. That is the heart cry that God is listening for today. That is the heart cry that He wants to answer. Notice how the psalmist answers this question. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living. Can you read that with me? By living according to God's word. Say it again. By living according to God's word. I can't hear you actually. It's by living in relationship with God, pursuing Him, pursuing His heart, His purposes, with a desire to keep ourselves pure in His sight. That no matter what I do, no matter where I go, God, give me a pure heart. Help me to live a pure life. Help me to live in purity in my relationships, in my dating, in my schooling, in my home life. Help me to live a pure life, God. And coming to His word, He says in a couple verses later, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. The word of God is key, because the word of God, young people, tells you what to think. The word of God tells you what to do and what not to do. The word of God reveals God's heart for you. The word of God tells you what's pure and what's not pure, what is good and what is evil. And so when you live out the word of God that you're reading and studying and meditating on, as you do that, God's grace and power will help you to be pure, to stay pure. You know, I understand that today is not so much about me telling you how to be pure. Today is not me taking you through the Word of God and saying, this is how to live a pure life, generation, young people. This is how to keep your way. That's for you to discover. What God is saying to us today is, I want to hear that heartbeat coming from you that says, God, will you make me pure? That hears God saying to you, will you be pure? Will you let me make you pure? Today is about our heart cry for purity. Today is about, God, give me a pure heart and help me keep my way pure. While preparing this message, I realized that God has been leading me to preach. The last two sermons have ultimately been about purity. You remember 2 months ago, he led me to preach about grumbling and complaining. Do you remember that? Grumbling and complaining. And in Philippians 2:14, it says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? So that you may become pure and blameless. He was saying to us, I don't want words, speech of complaining and arguing and grumbling to be coming out of your mouth because it makes you impure. It is impure. And it makes you impure. And when you're impure with grumblings and complainings, you don't shine like the stars, like I want you to. You can't hold out the word of life to others around you. You can't shine for me to others around you as long as words, impure words of grumbling and complaining are coming out of your mouth. And then last month, he had me speak about the sin of gluttony, of the excess of eating too much and drinking too much. And what he was saying through that is, I want your bodies to be pure. I want your bodies to be pure. God, give us a pure heart. Last week's youth, I gave you two scriptures that I encourage you to read and meditate on this week. Shall I ask for hands raised to who did it? Caroline, good job. You guys, this is exactly what I'm talking about. How can I keep my way pure? By living the Word of God. If you're not reading the Word of God, you're not going to know what He says about purity. And you're not going to know how to keep your way pure. And that's what God is asking of you today. Two scriptures that I gave you last week were this. 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the rest of the believers in your speech, in your life, in your faith, in your love, and in your purity. God is inviting you to ask for a pure heart so you can be an example to the rest of us of what it looks like for a young person to live their days here on earth with a pure heart and not get sucked in to the corruption of the world all around you. The next verse says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, the word, the Greek word here for pure in these verses means to be unstained, without mixture, free from the sin of the world, being pure to the core of your being, pure inside and out. You flee away from sin, from that which is wrong, from what corrupts you. And it says it's without mixture. In other words, I need you to hear this. Last week, you came back and you talked about how you were distant from God and how God brought you near to Him again. And one of you particularly said, I want to continue to be on fire for God. I don't want to lose the fire. And that echo was coming through many of you. Thank you, God, for what you were doing. You were talking about how amazing God was. And how good God was. And how excited you were about God. And you were on fire. And you may still be on fire. But you know how you keep on fire? This word is key to you keeping on fire. You begin to ask Him. And say, I want a pure heart, God. I want to be set apart for you. And I want to be on fire. It's not going to just happen. It's going to be about your heart engaging with God every single day. God, I want to be pure. Show me the way to be pure. I want to be used by you. Danny, you went to camp and you said, God, I want to be used by you at camp. That's the heart cry he wants from us every single day. When I wake up, God, I want to be used by you today. That's what a heart on fire looks like. That's what a pure heart does. It comes to God every day and says, I want to be pure. I want to be used by you today. I want to be set apart for you today. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's inviting you into. God is asking some things of you today, youth. I've got three questions that I believe God's asking. Can you read these with me? Number one, are you willing to make this your heart cry? That's what God's asking. Adults, that's what God's asking us today. Are you willing to make this your heart cry? Give me a pure heart. Secondly, are you willing, youth especially, are you willing for God to use you as an example to the rest of the believers in purity? God's saying, are you willing? He's looking for an answer today. Are you willing? Thirdly, will you make a choice today to flee the evil desires of youth? That's what 1 Timothy said, or 2 Timothy said, flee the desires of youth. God's wanting to know if you're willing for that today. Are you willing to flee the evil desires of youth? You may not even know what those evil desires yet. He'll let you know. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll tell you. If you want it, he'll give it to you. And this is not a one-time decision that God is looking for. But it is a start this morning for every one of us. In this moment, when the Spirit of the living God is speaking to our hearts, and we make a choice to respond to him in this moment, he takes this moment and this decision seriously. It starts in a moment, but it's a journey. Moving forward from this place. You do understand that, right? But it's about today in this moment saying, yes, I'll ask for a pure heart. Yes, I'll flee the evil desires of youth. And yes, I will seek to be an example to the believers in purity, in body, soul, and spirit. In my mind, in the way I think, and how I live my life. This is one of those moments that I had when I was a teenager. I went to a Christian concert by the guy, by the name of a guy called Al Denson. And it was in a gymnasium. And I was on my own. I was there by myself. I don't know why I was there by myself. I think it was just because I liked his music. And I was sitting at the very top of the bleachers on my own. There were other people. There was lots of thousands of people there. But I was up on the bleachers in the top by myself. And one of his songs was called Be the One. And the verse goes like this. Will you be the one to answer to his call? And will you stand when those around you are falling? Will you be the one to take his light into a darkened world? Tell me, will you be the one? And the Spirit of God was just speaking this song, these lyrics directly. It was like God was there. No one else was there. And he was saying, Candace, will you be the one to stand when your peers fall? Will you be the one? I'm asking you now in this moment, will you be the one? And at the end of the song, it changes the lyrics and it begins to say, yes, I'll be the one to answer to his call. Yes, I will stand when those around me fall. I will be the one to take his light into a dark world. And as we began to sing that word, yes, I will be the one. I was so moved by the fact that God was speaking a word directly to my heart that moment. That I just stood up and I raised my hand and I said, God, yes, I will be the one. I will answer that call. They didn't ask anybody to stand. Nobody else was standing. I'm on the top and my eyes are closed. I don't even know that anyone else is there. It was a moment for me and God, and I was saying, I will be the one. And God looked down on that moment. And he never forgot it. And I'm standing here today in part because of that moment when I said yes to the prompting of his spirit. And there's a whole journey that he had to take me on, and he continues to take me on. But it starts in a moment like this, where God is speaking and he's asking for a response. Will you ask me today for a pure heart? What's important to understand about this heart cry to have a pure heart is that purity is already something made possible for you by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't make yourself pure. I don't make myself pure. I have a part to play. You have a part to play. But the part to play is in and through our relationship with Jesus. 1 John 1:9. Let's read this together. What does this say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our part to play begins when we confess our sins. Which, for those of you who are getting baptized today, raise your hands again. If you're getting baptized today, this is very significant. This is what is actually being acted out and symbolized in your baptism. Your old life of sins are being washed away as you're taken down into the water and you are washed clean of your sins. You're made pure. And you rise up out of that water into a new beginning, a clean state, a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's now you and Jesus united as one. And he's now leading your life. He's alive on the inside of you, and you're ready to start really living the life that he created you to live. He is now your life. He is the one you love and serve and obey. He's the one you desire to be with. He's the one you desire to please. He's the one that you talk to every day. He is the one who teaches you what is right and what is wrong, what is pure, what is impure, what is good and what is evil. Today is a new day with a pure, clean heart that you start with. Because of the confession of your sin and the invitation of his presence into your life. And this is why this word is so important for you that are getting baptized. As your sins are washed away, as you're made pure, Jesus is now asking you to make a journey of purity with him. On this journey, he will help you say no to ungodliness. Titus 2:11-14. Someone's got notes, write that down. Kelly, you can pass it on to the rest of them. He will teach you how to not share in the sins of others. Next verse. Next verse. 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not share in the sins of others, but instead keep yourself pure. And to think about things that are pure. Your mind. Things that you think about when you're alone, when you're with your friends. God wants to give you pure thoughts. He wants to clean up the thoughts that are impure. You know, the first sermon that was preached by the church back in Acts after Jesus died, went back to heaven, and it was the first baptism service ever for the church. Peter preaches a message about what it means to be saved and forgiven from our sins and to be repent and be baptized. That's what you're doing today. You know what he said after that? The word says, after that, with many other words, Peter warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And that's the heartbeat of this message today. That's the other side of it. It's a different way of saying it. God wants you to be saved from the corruption and the impurities of this world and instead let him purify you so you can shine like stars and your speech can be pure, your lives can be pure, your bodies can be pure, your heart can be pure, your mind can be pure, your faith can be pure, everything about you can be pure. And you know what his promise is for the pure in heart? Check this verse out. What does it say? Blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. He wants you to see him. He wants you to encounter him. He wants you to live a life of encountering him like you did at camp. And he said, blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. You will see God use you. You will see God working in your life, around you, through you. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Anybody want to be pure today? All right, the Lord wants us to ask for a pure heart. And he wants to lead us in a way of purity. You know, last week, Matt ended and he said, I've got two words. You remember those words? After we heard all the testimonies from the youth, Matt said, Pastor Matt said, your move. Your move. God's asking you these questions. Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you ask me for a pure heart? Will you flee the evil desires of youth? Will you set an example for the believers in purity? And now it's your move. It's the ball's in your court. The ball's in our court. I'm going to close the message with a video. God did a work of purity in a people in a town that were completely ravaged and given over to drugs and alcohol and abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, suicides. The whole town was given over to this corruption. And actually, the suicides in this town were so high that the news in Canada was reporting on it. And it's the story of the work of purity that God did in this town. I had to edit it out because we have children in the place today. So it's not quite as powerful without seeing the whole version. But I think you'll get the point. After the video, there's going to be a song that's played that God's given me for this season and for this word, and it's simply called Pure. And just during that song, the lyrics will be up on the screen. Just invite you to spend that time in beginning to respond in your own heart to this word that the Lord is extending to us today. And after that, we'll have the worship team come back up, and we'll sing, Give Us Clean Hands and Give Us Pure Hearts. And if this morning you are here today and you are having a moment like I had when I was a young person, whether you're a youth or an adult, and you're having a moment and you know God's speaking to you today, and you know that he wants you to respond and come and ask for a pure heart, when we worship team is up here, I'm going to ask you to come and stand at the front as an expression of that heart cry to God, and we're just going to pray together, and we're going to ask God for it together. So video, song, worship, And then we'll move on with our service. Thanks, David.
Arctic is divided into two primary domains. Nunavut, the country's newest self-governing territory, and Nunavik, an Inuit homeland in northern Quebec. Together, the region encompasses more than 2.7 million square kilometers. Remarkably, this vast and frigid landscape is inhabited by less than 30,000 natives. It is so cold that even trees refuse to grow. But it is the inner barrenness that does the real damage.
So many from that generation, they turned to alcohol.
It was awful. It was very awful.
I remember when people would die, we would go for mourning and mourning. You know, we would be sad because we have no hope.
Many young people turn to drugs, alcohol, and heavy metal music. Others simply walk through the door of no return.
I had a big mirror in my room, and I draw demons.
All groups of intercessors were pounding heaven with prayers for revival. Providing inspiration for this assault were two men with big hearts and worn-out knees, Arctic evangelist Billy Arnacook and local pastor Moses Kayak.
That's when the people were convicted and were drawn to the Lord in a great numbers. And they were so convicted that they felt they had to clean their houses.
The dirt paths leading to John Turner's old church were suddenly congested with desperate townspeople. Everyone, it seemed, wanted to get rid of their illicit drugs, pornography, and heavy metal music.
It was coming in like a flood.
We had a big can, garbage can, right in front of the altar. Every night, they kept filling it up and filling it up.
Every night, they went to the dump and burned them up.
After five nights, the town dump was full. As community leaders considered incinerating the remaining items, they received encouragement from an unlikely source, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
They had a bonfire right about here where the iceberg is.
The Mounties even provided logistical support.
Five got it.
They said, we can even provide gas to burn up the junk.
Nearly the entire community turned out for the burn. According to the RCMP, the value of illicit property destroyed during the revival was a staggering $80,000 to $100,000.
It was a deep repentance. The Holy Spirit himself was speaking to the people. The whole community was completely transformed.
The afterglow of this momentous occasion warmed hearts for months to come. But it also hinted at a fire yet unrealized. A fire so remarkable, it would be talked about half a world away.
February 28th.
It happened in the middle of winter, February 28th, 1999.
Believers had gathered for a week of revival meetings at the Anglican Church. Hungry for God and troubled by new reports of community drug use, they decided to add a special Sunday afternoon youth service.
An invitation was offered for youth who felt they wanted to come closer to God.
Worship leader Louis Ariac was praying over the youth that had gathered around the altar.
I felt so close to God, and he kept giving me this verse that says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Something started to happen that was out of our control.
This noise started coming.
Yeah, it started softly, like you can barely hear it.
A dual cassette deck used to record the service was still running off the soundboard.
Right away, I wanted to stop.
But it kept getting louder, and I started to notice that people were kind of getting a little nervous.
It was so strong, so strong.
It was so loud that everything started to shake.
Fire went right through me.
It sounded like a jet.
Things started to shake. I started to shake.
I told myself, there's no jets in Pond Inlet.
Hallelujah!
months after this extraordinary visitation, it was evident the moment still had power.
Every time I thought about it, I was greatly humbled. Thinking that the Almighty God can visit us.
When Pastor Moses Kayak first heard the low-pitched rumbling, he walked over to the church soundboard to adjust the settings.
I tried this, not stop, tried this, no stop.
When these efforts failed to correct the situation, he quickly turned down the master control. When this too failed, he shut the system off completely. Still, the sound and the recording continued.
It shouldn't have been recorded. It's only by the miracle of God.
Came into the town.
He was completely humbled to the point where he wanted to continually come before God, kneel, and ask for prayer, and ask for the cleansing of the heart, to become pure before him.
invite you to stand. Will you just bow your heads with me? And I just want to leave it open. We're going to sing this song just through once or twice. And I'm not going to necessarily ask you to come forward. If, however you want to respond to God today, if it's just in your own seat, in your heart, if you want to kneel at your seat, if you want to come forward, you want to kneel at the foot of the cross. It's a moment just between you and God. To just sing these words as your prayer. Say, yes, God, I've heard you today. And I'm asking you to give me a pure heart. You don't have to come to God pure. You come to God as you are, with your impurities, with your confession of any impurities that he highlights to you in your life. Those of you that are getting baptized today, take this moment to prepare your heart for that baptism. Any impurities, anything you need to confess before the Lord, you bring it before him now, and then you ask him, give me a pure heart. People, this is your moment. Just in your own heart. God's asking, inviting you to ask him, give me a clean heart. This is your moment where he's asking, will you make a choice right now to flee the evil desires of youth? will you ask him to help you keep your way pure and set an example? If this is your moment and he's speaking to you, just say yes to him in your heart. Just let him know you want to be the one. Father, I just want to declare the promise of your word that when we come before you and ask for a pure heart, that you will purify us. You will sprinkle clean water on us. You will make us clean. You will cleanse us from our impurities and from all our idols. You will give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. You will remove from us our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. You will put your spirit in us to move us to follow your decrees and to keep our way pure. I thank you that your promise this morning is yes and amen. And Father, I want to ask for a grace to be loosened and released over every heart that was lifted up to you this morning and said, give me a pure heart. Grace upon them, Lord, right now, to hear your voice and to walk in purity. For their hearts to be set on you, for them to be set apart for you, and there to be a burning desire for you and for what is pure in their lives. That you would take them on a journey of purity in the coming days. That you would bless them with a pure heart, that they might see you.